Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, November 6th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled, City to Wait for Pension Change, State May Cut Goals for Police and Fire Funds. Despite Normal's decision to scale back its police and firefighter pension contributions to help stave off a tax levy increase, Bloomington officials are taking a wait-and-see stance. The Normal City Council voted unanimously Monday night to alter its goal of achieving 100% funding of those pension funds by 2040. The goal now is to reach 90% by 2040, with the hope that the state will change the pension system. Bloomington City officials, however, want to see if the state decides to consolidate nearly 650 downstate and suburban Chicago public safety pension funds into two funds to maximize investment returns. The Illinois legislature could act on the proposal when its veto session resumes November 12th to 14th. We're watching if something happens in this November session, said Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. That introduces in our minds what is the need to fund at 100% as we currently are. We may consider reducing to 90%, but we're not there yet. Gleason has recommended to aldermen keeping the property tax levy the same as last year's, which was $20.28 million, even at the current 100% funding level for public safety pensions, he said Tuesday. I might wait to talk property tax levy publicly until November 25th, because it would give us a couple extra weeks to see what might come out of the General Assembly, he added. Two leaders of Bloomington Police and Firefighter unions indicated their groups back the positions taken by their state associations. While the International Association of Firefighters supports the proposed state legislation, the Illinois Police Benevolent and Protective Association has expressed concerns over the proposed consolidation because it would remove most of the local input on how the pension funds are run. The bottom line is we are going to pay our first responders, Mayor Terry Renner said. The real question is, how fiscally responsible are we going to be in getting to that point? Reducing the funding ratio to 90% by 2040 could free up a few extra dollars for other community needs, such as a new fire station to reduce response times on the city's northeast side, and possibly build an aquatic center at O'Neill Park, said Renner. A state law that took effect in 2011 requires all public safety pension funds to be funded at 90% by 2040. Unlike Normal and some other municipalities, Bloomington does not fund its police and fire pensions entirely from property taxes. The Bloomington Council in 2014 adopted a funding plan for the public safety pensions, mixing the tax levy and utility taxes, to make accelerated payments over several years toward a goal of 100% funding by 2040. On the utility tax side, we would front-load and build up reserves, said Gleason of the city's plan. But in the next couple of years, we're going to be tapping the reserve fund to maintain the property tax rate. In November 2018, Bloomington's police and fire pension obligations for the current year were expected to total $11.1 million, Gleason said. The property tax levy contributed $8.2 million, and $2.5 million came from utility taxes, leaving a gap of about $400,000. As of May 1, 2019, the city's police pension fund was funded at 56.83% of a pension liability of $151.6 million, up from 54.91% on May 1, 2018, according to a recent independent auditor's report. The firefighters' pension fund was 52.85% of a pension liability of $126.5 million on May 1, 2019, up from 52.52% on May 1, 2018. The game changer for us is if the consolidation of public safety pensions occurs and the state tells the municipalities to fund at just 90%, we won't be funding at 100%, Gleason said. We just don't know that yet. I think everybody is on board with the logic that with the consolidation of the public safety funds, you're going to reduce your expenses and increase your investment potential, said Gleason. But there is a lot more to figure out after that, and not dissimilar with cannabis legislation that takes effect January 1st. It's a wait and see. County adds an option for mental health care. A Center for Crisis Intervention, De-escalation, and Linkage to Follow-up Services for McLean County residents 18 and older in a mental health crisis that is not life-threatening will start work soon. The McLean County Triage Center will open by the end of the year on the first floor of the southwest corner of the McLean County Health Department building at 200 West Front Street, Bloomington. Tricia Mallett, the county's Behavioral Health Coordinating Council supervisor, said on Tuesday, "I'm excited to see years of discussion about responding to this need coming to fruition," Mallett told the Pantograph. The triage center will be a piece in the community's continuum of care. The triage center is among three programs that McLean County is adding to address what county leadership views as mental health service gaps. Another program, FUSE, or Frequent User Systems Engagement, to support people with mental illnesses who have frequent encounters with law enforcement, emergency department, and homeless services began quietly several months ago, Mallett said. A third program, Telepsychiatry for Individuals Referred Through the Emergency Department, the McLean County Center for Human Services Mobile Crisis Team, justice system will begin when the county can hire a psychiatrist or psychiatric advanced practice nurse, Mallett said. We are experiencing the same thing as every other jurisdiction, that psychiatrists are in high demand, Mallett said. The county's existing mental health service providers, CHS, and Chestnut Health Systems applauded the county's efforts but expressed concern that having another mental health service provider will make collaboration among service providers more important than ever. It's an important part of a continuum of crisis services for our county, Chestnut CEO Dave Scherer said of the Triage Center. But it's vitally important that there's close collaboration with other community providers, he continued. We have multiple service providers and multiple points of access. The county has decided to enter into the business themselves. That adds a new access point, which may be confusing to clients, he said. CHS Executive Director Tom Barr said, "I see the Triage Center and the Chestnut Crisis Stabilization Unit program and the hospital psychiatric unit as a continuum. I see our mobile crisis team helping to facilitate all of that." While people who are suicidal will continue to be directed to hospital emergency departments, The triage center is for people who are not suicidal but are in a mental health crisis, such as experiencing extreme anxiety or depression or a panic attack. The center will be staffed 24/7 by 5 people with behavioral health or justice system experience, as well as peers who work for Chestnut and live with a mental health diagnosis. Clients will be assessed and assisted, will be allowed to stay in the center for no more than 23 hours to de-escalate, and will be linked to community services for follow-up. I would describe the triage center as a step down from the Chestnut Crisis Stabilization Unit, which is a step down from inpatient psychiatric hospitalization, Mallett said. The average length of stay in Chestnut's unit is 14 to 16 days, she said. People who would be going to the triage center now frequently end up in hospital emergency departments, Mallett said. Renovation of the future center location, formerly office space of Health Department Communicable Disease staff, is nearly done at a cost of $32,500. The county budgeted $400,000 for the triage center this year, she said. Fuse, located on the fourth floor of the Health Department building, intends to yearly serve 10 people with severe and chronic mental illness and work with them on their behavioral health problems while linking them to support for housing and employment. Fuse, which has hired its staff, is working with 2 clients so far, is in discussions with 2 more, and will be adding others soon, Mallett said. The Fuse budget for this year is $675,000. For triage, Fuse, and telepsychiatry, money is coming from the Public Safety and Mental Health Fund, resulting from sales tax dollars derived from the intergovernmental agreement between the county, City of Bloomington, and Town of Normal. The Holiday Expo, biggest shopping extravaganza in Bloomington Normal, will take place at the Park Regency Hotel and Conference Center on Saturday, November 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There will be 80 local businesses, early Black Friday sales, free admission, free gift wrapping, door prizes and raffles, and a destination vacation giveaway. These sales support nonprofits: the Boys and Girls Club, the Child Protection Network, and the NAACP. Today's Flick Fact: Daddy-O's is a popular bar and night spot at 525 North Main Street in downtown Bloomington. Has it ever been a pizza joint? And the answer? Yes. It was Tobin's Pizza before Tobin's moved north to its current locale at 1513 North Main Street. Today in history: today is Wednesday, November 6th. It's the 310th day of 2019, and there are 55 days left in this year. On this date, on November 6th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan won re-election by a landslide over former Vice President Walter Mondale, the Democratic challenger. On this day in 1814, Adolphe Sax, the inventor of the saxophone, was born in Belgium. In 1860, former Illinois Congressman Abraham Lincoln of the Republican Party was elected President of the United States as he defeated John Breckinridge, John Bell, and Stephen Douglas. In 1861, Confederate President Jefferson Davis was elected to a 6-year term of office. In 1956, President Dwight D. Eisenhower won re-election, defeating Democrat Adlai E. Stevenson II. In 1977, 39 people were killed when the Kelly Barnes Dam in Georgia burst, sending a wall of water through Toccoa Falls College. In 1986, former Navy radio man John A. Walker Jr., the admitted head of a family spy ring, was sentenced in Baltimore to life imprisonment. Walker died in prison in 2014 at the age of 77. In 1990, about one-fifth of the Universal Studios backlot in Southern California was destroyed in an arson fire. And in 1995, funeral services were held in Jerusalem for assassinated Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. A thought for today from Alvin Toffler, American writer: the illiterate of the future will not be the person who cannot read. It will be the person who does not know how to learn. And how time flies locally, from the Pantograph. 100 years ago, on November 6, 1919, voters in Bloomington and Normal decided in favor of forming a sanitary district. Proper disposal of waste has been a problem in town for years. A judge will appoint the first trustees, who will then determine the best way to proceed. 75 years ago, on November 6, 1944, the Normal School Board named Normal Community High School's athletic field Truman H. Keyes Field in memory of a past board member. Keyes, who died the previous year, was a local banker and served on the school board for 23 years. The old Normal Community High School is now called Kingsley Junior High School. 50 years ago, on November 6, 1969, four dogs were found poisoned in Saybrook, one of which survived. Veterinarian Carl Farrell said they were the first dog poisonings in 15 years. Nearby Gibson City has been plagued with poisonings for 3 years, including the 97th dog a few days ago. And 25 years ago, on November 6, 1994, former President Ronald Reagan disclosed that he has Alzheimer's disease, a debilitating affliction for which there is no cure. Reagan, a former athlete and Eureka College graduate, broke the news in a letter he wrote to the American people. Jingle Bell Run set for Sunday. Heartland to host fundraiser to help Arthritis Foundation. Central Illinoisans will have an opportunity this weekend to have fun while combating the nation's number one cause of disability. The 32nd annual Jingle Bell Run, a McLean County tradition and the largest area fundraiser of the year for the Arthritis Foundation, will be on Sunday on the Heartland Community College campus at 1500 West Robb Road, Normal. The site opens at 11:30 a.m. and the run is at 1 p.m. The Jingle Bell Run is a staple for many people in the Bloomington Normal community to kick off their holiday season, said Emily Opperman, Arthritis Foundation Development Manager, and it combats arthritis, which affects 1 in 4 people. Everyone knows someone with arthritis, Opperman said. There are more than 100 types of arthritis, which attack joints and surrounding tissue, causing pain, swelling, stiffness, decreased range of motion, and diminished quality of life. Money raised at the Jingle Bell Run goes to Arthritis Foundation-funded research for new medicines and treatments, fellowships for rheumatologists to help to address the shortage of those specialists, and family and educational programs, Opperman said. Goals this year are 400 participants and $25,000. This year's honoree is Glenn Harbin of Bloomington, who has fibromyalgia, a form of arthritis characterized by musculoskeletal pain and fatigue. A kids' fun run is at 12:30 p.m., followed by a 5K run and a one-mile walk at 1 p.m. In keeping with tradition, participants will wear jingle bells and are encouraged to wear costumes. A post-race awards ceremony at 2:30 p.m. will recognize the top fundraisers, the fastest runners, and the best costumes. People may register at jbr.org/Bloomington until noon Friday, or in person at Fleet Feet in Bloomington from 2 to 6 p.m. Saturday, or in person at the race site from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday. For a timed 5K runner, registration is $40 until Friday or $45 on Saturday or Sunday. For an untimed runner, registration is $35 until Friday or $40 on Saturday or Sunday. For the kids' run, registration is $20 until Friday or $25 on Saturday or Sunday. People who can't participate but wish to support the foundation are encouraged to donate $30 on the website, Opperman said. Post office switch starts Friday. Move to Empire Street from Towanda Avenue set for this weekend. The Eagle Station Post Office on Towanda Avenue will close permanently at noon Friday, and the main Bloomington post office will return to its previous location on Empire Street, opening at 8:30 a.m. on November 12th. To assist customers during the transition, the downtown Bloomington post office will have extended hours on Friday and Saturday. It will be open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday and from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. The downtown station usually closes at 4:30 weekdays and all day on Saturday. All post offices are closed Monday for Veterans Day. Bloomington Postmaster Nicole West said, "It just really brings everything together for better customer service." Customer service operations were transferred from the facility near Eastland Mall to Eagle Station, a former grocery store at 1211 Towanda Avenue, in 1999. Space had become a problem when Bloomington took over processing mail for 62 communities in 1997. But with mail processing operations now handled in Champaign, the Postal Service decided to consolidate Bloomington operations to save money and improve efficiency. Because letter carrier operations remained at the Empire Street facility, customers who wanted to pick up a package or mail they missed couldn't get it until the next day at the Towanda Avenue office, West explained. Among complaints about the original Empire Street location was a lack of parking. West said the remodeled facility will have 30 parking spaces. She said the main post office will provide everything Eagle Station was providing and more. There will be two self-service kiosks, two letter drops, and two parcel drops, which is double what the Towanda Avenue facility offers. The remodeled facility also will have 5 window stations, 24-hour lobby access, and a passport office. The hours will be the same as they've been at Eagle Station, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, and closed on Sunday. The normal post office is located at 200 West North Street, Uptown Normal. McCracken to run for county board. An eighth candidate has joined the Democratic slate for McLean County Board. R.J. McCracken, events director at Let's Party Rental in Bloomington, is running in the board's District 3, he announced Tuesday. "My work as events director takes me all over McLean County," he said in a news release. "When I saw that the communities that make up the 3rd County Board District are the communities that I work in every day, I knew I had to run." McCracken is the first candidate to announce a bid in District 3, which covers part of southwest Bloomington and areas south and west of the city. Incumbent Republican George Wendt has not said publicly whether he'll seek re-election. McCracken serves on the city's Cultural Commission and was campaign manager for Alderman Jeff Crabill. He previously worked on a congressional campaign for former U.S. Senator Mark Kirk, a Republican. "I come from a very politically active Republican background, actually," said McCracken. "Despite our differences in beliefs, I still, to this day, remain close friends with Senator Kirk and value our conversation about politics greatly." Democrats hope to take control of the board, currently 13-7 Republican, after picking up 2 seats during the Blue Wave in 2018. Republicans are defending 8 seats in 2020 versus 2 for Democrats. Crime Stoppers, man wanted for residential burglary. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who is wanted for felony charges. Benjamin D. Gentry, 23, is 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighs 120 pounds. He has brown hair and hazel eyes. His last known address is in Gilman, Illinois. Gentry is wanted for residential burglary. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You can report this or any other crime to Crime Stoppers by calling 309-828-1111. Siren retest. McLean County will sound its outdoor warning sirens at 10 a.m. Wednesday because the monthly test on Tuesday failed. The problem that prevented them from sounding Tuesday has been corrected, county officials said. Area calendar for today, Veterans Celebration Fundraiser, 5:30 to 9 p.m. at the County Country Air Restaurant in Atlanta. 10% of all meals benefits the Veterans Celebration Committee of St. John United Church of Christ. Also today, how to become a beekeeper from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Bloomington Public Library Community Room, presented by the Central Illinois Beekeepers Association. And Thursday, tiny book concerts, noon to 1 at the Normal Public Library, concerts in the cafe. They will also be held on November 14th and 21st. And books to benefit book sale, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday and 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, and Sunday. This will be held at 360 Wiley Drive, Suite 700 in Normal. It benefits STAR Literacy and Textbook Scholarship. There's a $5 admission on Thursday, a book lover's bag sale, $5 per supplied bag. For more information, visit books-tobenefit.com. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, November 6th, 2019. Please stay tuned.